أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Continuing with our look at قل كونا.
Today we will look at Surah number 113, which is Surah Al-Falaq, the daybreak. Now the last two surahs of the Quran, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, are called ma'udhatain, meaning the two that protect. They proclaim a'udhu, which is I seek refuge or I place myself in the refuge of. In Surah Al-Falaq, the Lord of the daybreak, and in Surah Al-Nas, the Lord of humanity. So in essence, when one finishes reading the Quran, we have learned certain things and therefore seek refuge in Allah from all that which opposes and contradicts what we have learnt. Istiaza, which is from the same root, means seeking refuge from every danger. That's normal for us to seek refuge in one who can hear us, in one who is more powerful than that which we seek refuge from, and one who is on our side. Like children who seek protection in their mother. And these two surahs describe the evils and corruption that plague humanity. The surah we will look at today, Surah Al-Falaq, looks at the exterior evils or the outer entities, while Surah Al-Nas deals with our soul, describing the internal evils. And divine assistance helps us to minimize the impact of the evil on us. So, repeating again, the focus of the surah is refuge with the Lord of the daybreak from outer entities. Now let's look at what these are. So the surah starts off by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge, or I place myself in the refuge of the Lord of the dawn, or the Lord of the daybreak. Falak literally means to split or tear open, to remove the shadows of the night with the rays of light. So we seek refuge in the one who brings forth the dawn after the darkness of the night. Let's look at another example. For example, an egg's hard shell confines the chick in it, but as soon as it is cracked and broken apart, the chick emerges to begin the next stage of its existence. This phenomenon is also called falak. The breaking of the confining layer that prevents its occupant from setting out upon the next stage of its life. How did the chick, within its egg, become a living entity? How will it later, without any power of its own, break out of the egg's hard shell? This power is called Rabbul Falaq. And the Rabb bit signifies the divine power that enables that transformation. Now let's look at the world in the same way. Just as the egg's shell covers the chick, so does the night cover the earth. The dark cover gradually splits and departs, so the light dominates. Thus another day is born, and the world experiences another birth. So we acknowledge his power of bringing light after darkness, and to turn to him to overcome difficulties. Now from what are we seeking refuge? So it starts off with, Min sharri ma khalak, from the evil of those he created. Now Allah creates only good. It is His creation who resorts to evil in the absence of goodness. So we're taking refuge from that aspect of creation that we see as harmful. When a snake bites, it does not have an intention of being evil, but we see a snake bite as harmful. So we're seeking protection from that which we deem harmful. And then there's an elaboration of this. Allah says, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِكٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ, and from the evil of intense darkness when it comes. Waqab is when something becomes invisible because of the darkness. It is also the darkness that strips away our freedom and security, or the darkness of ignorance. And then the next ayah says, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ, and from the evil of those who blow on knots. So this is taking refuge from the powers whose functioning we cannot understand, like those of witchcraft, which is represented by blowing on knots. Throughout history, magic and sorcery were rampant, and people depended upon magicians to solve their problems. Even today, blowing on knots is still in vogue. Here Allah is telling us to seek refuge in Him from such human frailties because they can divert us towards shirk or associating others with Allah. There is also another aspect forwarded by Mufassirin. An aqd is a knot. It could be a knot or a bond of friendship or a bond of relationship. By saying something to someone to break their bonds or affect their relationships is something we need to seek refuge from as well. And then finally, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from the evil of the jealous one when he is jealous. All of us are envious to some extent, but jealousy, when provoked, can make life miserable for everyone. History shows that it can be a very destructive force. The first crime in history was the murder of Habil by Qabil. And it was a result of Qabil's jealousy. For he asked his brother, "Why is your sacrifice accepted and not mine?" Again, why did Yusuf's brother throw him into the well? Because of jealousy. Why does our father love him more than us and pay so much attention to him? There are many ayat in the Quran which refer to the jealousy of people towards the Prophet. In some tradition, those who are jealous are compared to lice, which are harmless but irritating to their victim, feeding on dead skin and dying of overeating it. The hasid, or the jealous one, never wins, and we ask refuge from this attitude which has its seed in every heart. The essence of the surah is to verbalize our weakness in dealing with external elements beyond our control and take refuge in Allah first from all evil, and then the three specific ones. The darkness, which may also allude to ignorance, witchcraft, or those who blow on knots of relationships, and finally jealousy, possibly the most potent of all evils. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to keep away from these evils and seek refuge in the Lord of the Daybreak. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.